A fresh rumble of thunder washed over East Keep as the galleons sailing regally past pounded the batteries, and Major Fairley spat out a muddy mouthful of rock dust.
"This is fucking useless, sir!"
his second-in-command shouted almost in his ear.
"We're not even marking the bastards!"
That, Fairley thought, wasn't entirely true. He was confident they'd managed to land at least a few hits of their own. But there couldn't have been very many of them, and there hadn't been any in the last hour or so. It was the sheer number of guns they'd managed to cram aboard those ships. That and their obscene rate of fire. Every single one of those galleons mounted more guns than his entire battery in each broadside, and every single one of those guns fired four or five times as rapidly as his did, and clearly threw a heavier shot when they did fire. They'd started out using round shot, but as their fire had plowed into and around his gun's embrasures and his own artillerist's fire had begun to slacken, they'd come in closer until they were sweeping his positions with grape shot from barely 300 yards out as they sailed past. In fact, three of the bastards had actually shown their contempt for anything he might yet manage to do by coming in to less than 200 yards and anchoring there. They'd anchored by the stern, with springs on their cables, turning themselves into stable, unmoving gun platforms, and they were pouring a devastatingly accurate storm of grapeshot across his position. His subordinate was right, and he knew it. They'd already taken over 30 fatal casualties, and he had at least that many more who'd been wounded. That was 20% of his total effective force, and the men still in action weren't accomplishing a thing. The galleons anchored off the battery had Fairley's guns totally suppressed, and the other war galleons and the dozen or so transports with them were making their way past the defensive works completely unhampered. He poked his head up, looking over the parapet as the Carisian fleet sailed by. He didn't recognize the standard they flew, but from the colors, it had to be the flag of the new Carisian Empire he'd been hearing rumors about. If it was, the new Imperial Navy didn't seem to have gotten any less capable than the Royal Navy had been. Had he not been covered with the rock dust blasted from the walls of his own fortress and half deafened by the merciless bellowing of artillery, he might have had more appreciation of the martial spectacle in which he had become an unwilling participant. The morning sky was a perfect blue dome, unmarked by a single cloud, and the blue waters of East Pass, 14 miles wide at this point, although the navigable channel was much narrower, sparkled in the bright morning sunlight. But not everywhere. A forest of masts and sails, of tarred ratlins, of standards and signal flags, moved majestically up the channel under topsails and headsails alone. The war galleons were very different from their transport consorts. They were unnaturally low to the water, their hulls a stark black, relieved only by the white strakes along their gun ports. There was none of the gilding, the elaborate carving, and the brave paint of proper warships, but he supposed they didn't really need any of that. Not when those gun ports were open and belching steady flame and destruction at his men. The more brightly painted merchant ships, which obviously had been pressed into service as troop transports, made a striking contrast, and even through the blanket of smoke and dust enshrouding East Keep, he could see the blue tunics of Carisian Marines lining the transport's sides to watch the spectacle as the walls of gun smoke erupted from the warship's sides with such deadly, steady rapidity. He looked at it all for perhaps 1 minute, then ducked back into cover, put his back against the inner face of the parapet, and looked at his second-in-command once more.
"You're right," he grated.
The words cost him physical pain, much worse than the cut a flying fragment of stone had opened across the side of his head at the very start of the engagement.
"Tell the men to cease fire and get under cover. Then lower the standard.